It's time to learn all you can about buying, selling, financing, and developing real estate in today's market. Welcome to Mortgage Solutions with Tim Halliday, the show that provides you with the information you need when considering any real estate venture. Just sit back, grab a cup of coffee, and get your questions ready, because Tim will be helping you attain your goals in the complex world of real estate. Here's your host, Tim Halliday.
Welcome to Mortgage Solutions. I am your host, Tim Halliday. The purpose of this show is to educate you about real estate and real estate financing so you are better equipped to take on the largest transactions of your life. I always use the plural because I believe everybody should own more than one piece of real estate at a time. If you're listening today on the 8th of January, 2015, it's my second show of the year. It's my first live show of the year. I was not here on New Year's Day. So if you listened to me then, thank you very much. I did not listen to me. But anyway, I was in the studio before that. So we are live in studio today, 862-2373. It's 862-2373. If you have any questions or comments, I would love to hear from you today. Give us a call. Let me start off by talking about the market. So it has been a very volatile market the last few days. Today, the Dow Jones Industrials are up over 300 points as of just a couple of minutes ago, sitting at 17.9. They were all the way down to 17.3 earlier this week. So they've already gained back 600 points. But remember, just last week, it hit 18,000. So it had dropped almost 700 points. So it's been a very, very volatile. The good news is it has not affected the 10-year bond and interest rates that dramatically. The 10-year bond is still, even with a 300-point increase in the Dow, the 10-year bond is still under 2% right now, sitting at 1.95. Now, the 10-year bond is not a direct indicator of interest rates. In other words, you could trade the 10-year bond all day. It could be at any number, and it wouldn't directly impact interest rates, but it's the best indicator of what's going on with interest rates. Interest rates are driven by trading of the mortgage-backed securities instruments, but they're a lot harder for the average person to find online. I have to subscribe to a service that I get a live feed for those. Otherwise, it's a 20-minute delay. And the reason that I subscribe to a live feed of those is that I can tell when interest rate changes are dramatically being impacted, and lenders reprice two or three times a day when interest rates are volatile, which is these days, it's virtually every day. So if you are in a place where you want to lock a loan, for instance, and you tell me, okay, lock my loan at whatever, fill in the number, 3.625 on a 30-year fixed loan, and I want to make sure I'm getting a rebate of 2.7%, because that's what you quoted me before. And I go in at 9 o'clock in the morning, and I see that all of those parameters are correct, except maybe the interest rate or the rebate to you is 2.4%. But it looks like the Dow is having a rough day, or it looks like the 10-year bond is slipping a little bit, then I can wait. And I see that, and I can watch that. And then I can see mortgage-backed securities because of my live feed. Maybe they're increasing. So I'll wait till 12 or 1 o'clock, and I'll see a big increase. And then I can follow those and run in and lock your loan when I'm supposed to get you the rebate that you expected to get to help with your closing costs. So it can mean the difference of $400 or $500 on your closing, which doesn't sound like a lot when you're buying a $200,000 home, but you know, I don't know anybody that $400 or $500 is not a lot of money. You know, if I handed any of you out there a check for $400 or $500, you wouldn't say, "Oh, that's not a lot of money." You'd all say, "Thank you, that's awesome." So that's part of what we do at Victory Funding, and it's something that it's interesting to me. It may or may not be interesting to you, but just know that there's somebody out there like me, a geek that watches this stuff like a hawk and pays attention to it and understands it and helps you take advantage of it. That's the whole name of the game, right? So another piece of interesting news, the president came out this week and announced that he is going to encourage FHA to lower the mortgage insurance premium from, and this is the monthly ongoing premium, from 1.35% down to 0.85%. So a half point decrease. What that means to you is the monthly mortgage insurance premium is part of what you pay for an FHA loan. It's every single FHA loan. So he's only talking about FHA loans. He's not talking about private mortgage insurance on a conventional loan or anything else. This is strictly FHA. So, and what a half point means to you is on a $200,000 purchase, that's about $80 a month less payment, or almost $1,000, over $900. It's like $960 a year lower mortgage payments for you. So that's pretty significant. The other thing it can mean is that if you're thinking of refinancing, a streamlined FHA refinance. So if you call us, we can do streamlined FHA refinances. They don't require an appraisal. They're quick. And maybe you're only saving 0.75% on your FHA loan and it didn't make sense in the past. Now, between the 0.75% you're saving and the lower mortgage insurance premium rate, now it may make great sense to change. Because if you got a loan in the last year, that mortgage insurance is permanent on there. So you are always going to pay mortgage insurance as long as you have that FHA loan. So if I can give you a rate of 3.5 or 3.75 or in that range, then lower your mortgage insurance, it could be a home run for you, and you could save thousands of dollars. I mean, you can see if all you did was get rid of the mortgage insurance premium, you'd save $5,000 in 5 years. That is not a little bit of money. That's the price of some cars. So, you know, $80 a month is nice to have in your budget. And you can use that to save. You can use it to save up for another house if you want. Lots of places for that money to go. So between that, gas prices are down. I saw oil, last I looked, was under $49 a barrel. It was 48 something a barrel. Haven't had oil prices that low in almost two decades. It was early, I think it was 2000 was the last time oil prices were this low. That is a huge benefit. That's going to put thousands of dollars in your pocket during the year. In addition to the gas prices, all fossil fuel prices, so propane, for instance, heating oil, all of that stuff that we use, and today is a great example of that because it was, you know, when I woke up this morning and looked at the temperature outside, it was 8 below 0 at my house when I looked. We're 8.8 or something like that. It was pretty cold anyway. So fuel prices certainly make a huge difference to the average consumer. So you put all that together, and you're talking about thousands of dollars different without getting another job, without putting more time in, without getting a raise at work, just because the economy has changed a little bit. So to me, this is big news. It's also, you know, last week we talked about goal setting. This is a prime example of why you need to set goals this year. And economic news like this fuels that growth. This could be, I believe, 2015 is going to be a great year in the real estate industry and in people's lives in general. I think we're going to see a lot of that, those funds from the savings of fuel put back into the economy in the form of additional investments. And when you add that to the fact that we're in the Capital District and we have jobs, something the rest of the country is starving for, we have new industries coming in. There's so much optimism around here that I think it's going to be a terrific year. And the best time to get into the market, folks, is today. It's not later on. It's not in the spring. It's not. It's right now. We're seeing a huge uptick already this soon in January of investors looking for properties, homeowners looking for properties. Pre-qualifications are flying out my door. We're getting more people pre-qualified more quickly. So it looks to me like we are headed for a very, very good year in 2015. So I'm going to carry that optimism with me, and I hope you do the same. All right, so this week, I want to talk to you about seller concessions. Now, if that's a foreign word to you, if you've never bought a piece of property or you haven't bought a piece of property in a long time, seller concessions are extremely important. They're very common. So we're going to talk about this, and you're going to learn today what a seller concession is and what a seller concession is not. When are they allowed? When are they not allowed? What is too much? We're going to give you a whole bunch of examples of all that. So we're going to jump in with that. And this is a great topic because it's another way for you to get into real estate without a ton of cash. And I don't care who you are, even if you have the money, it is frequently more advantageous for you to utilize a seller concession than it is to bring the money to the closing. And you may say, well, why are you advocating that I go into debt? I'm not necessarily advocating that you go into debt, but follow this scenario. Let's say you have $10,000 and you want to buy a $100,000 property. First of all, that's only a 10% down payment. So it's not going to get you out of paying mortgage insurance. It also doesn't include, if you're thinking about that strictly as down payment, there's a whole bunch of money that you need to be able to get into the property to do your due diligence. So you have inspections to do. You have a deposit to make on the property, which does count towards your down payment. You have an appraisal, which is not part of your closing costs. That's extra. And depending on how many inspections you get, they can add up pretty quickly. So you're going to need some money to get into the property, plus your down payment, plus your closing costs. So $10,000 on a $100,000 purchase with no seller concession and no gifts or anything else is probably pretty close to what you would need just to do a minimum 5% down payment. The other 5% will pay for your closing costs and your inspections. So 10 grand sounds like a lot of money. It's not a lot of money. So let's say you had the use of the same scenario, that $10,000, but you could get into a piece of property with 3.5% down and you had to bring that to the closing. Well, that's only $3,500 on a $100,000 purchase. So that leaves you $6,500. Now let's say you have $2,000 worth of inspections, appraisal, ancillary costs to get to the closing. Now you've got $5,500 that you're going to spend. That leaves you with $4,500 in cash. So your closing cost will be about 4.5%. So the rest of that money that you have could go right to the house. So you could end up buying a house, a $100,000 house, and not having a dime after you moved in. That doesn't sound like a good idea to me. So let's say you had $20,000 and you decided to do that. You still, at the end of the day, only have $10,000 left. And what is that money going to do? Are you going to leave it in a savings account? Are you going to invest it? Well, a savvy person would have that money invested. Let's say you're going to invest it in the stock market. The Dow this year increased by over 7%. So do you want $10,000 earning 7% interest, compounding, by the way, which is going to make you $7,000 in the first year? Or do you want to reduce your mortgage by $7,000 and not pay 3.5% interest on that money? So you're going to save 3.5% or you're going to earn 7%. I think you're getting it here. Follow me through this. The other thing that's very true and super important is that you need to have a reserve. If you don't have reserves and you own a home, you are going to be struggling when it comes time to replace a hot water heater, which is not a huge expense, but it's an expense. Or get your furnace serviced in the spring or in the fall rather, or you know, any major repair on your house. A septic system can be 20 grand for crying out loud. So, I mean, there's all sorts of things that you need to be prepared for. So not having a reserve is a terrible idea. So we're going to utilize the seller concession to make sure you preserve some of your cash. That's what part of the use of that is. But I digress because I want to jump in by talking about what a seller concession is. And instead of giving you the definition right off the bat, we're coming up on a break, so we're going to take it a little bit early, and we'll plow through the rest of this in just a minute. As a Capital Region local for 22 years, I've been on all sides of the home buying and selling process. Buying several investment properties myself, I know what concerns you have, and I will not place you in a home that is more than you can afford. This is about what's right for you, not me. As a servant of the Lord, I am accountable to God Himself for every single thing that I do, including helping you into that new home. To be a good steward, I'm not only a registered mortgage broker, but a licensed real estate broker as well. With 20 plus years of experience, I will help you through the entire process. I disclose all of the standard fees up front to make sure there are no surprises at your closing. call me for any of your mortgage needs today at 899-7700. That's 899-7700.
Victory Funding is a New York State registered mortgage broker. All loans through third-party providers.
Welcome back to Mortgage Solutions. I'm your host, Tim Halliday. We are live in studio today, 862-2373. 862-2373. Give us a call if you have a question or you'd like to make a comment. So let's talk about seller concession. A seller concession is a way for you to borrow a portion of your closing costs on a real estate purchase. Notice I said a way for you to borrow. It sounds like it's a gift from the seller. It is not a gift from the seller. The concession is a tool that you can use to borrow some of your closing costs. It has to be used very carefully. The concession does not come from the seller except on paper. So let's talk about that for a minute. If you are talking to Mr. Seller and you are Mr. Buyer or Mrs. Buyer, and the seller says to you, I will accept $100,000 for the purchase of my house. I will not take $999,999. I will take $100,000. I know I said a million, not that, but anyway, I'm sure they would have taken that. I won't take $99,999, but I will take $100,000. So they're going to take $100,000 for their house. And you say to them, okay, but I need some money to help with the closing. So I'm going to give you $100,000, but I expect you to give me back $6,000. The seller is going to not take your offer. That is not what they're going to do. But if you go to the seller and you say, so I want to give you $106,383, but I need $6,383 back, they're going to say, that's fine, because you're giving me $100,000. So I know the next question you have is, how did you get that strange number? Why isn't it $6,000? Well, this is where we come to the math. So I'm not going to belabor the math point. You know, when I hear the sound effect of the, you know, the Friday the 13th music or something, but this is what everybody hears when I start talking about math. So the math is kind of a pet peeve of mine, because if it's not done correctly, it can actually cost somebody something at the closing. And unfortunately, it's usually either the seller that it hurts, or it's the realtor that did the math that it hurts, because somebody's going to have to pay. So here's the truth. If your purchase price, whatever your purchase price is, you can't multiply that by 6% and add that number to the top. So by doing that, you would get, and the example that I gave, $100,000 purchase times 6% is $6,000. Add it to the top, the purchase price is $106,000. The problem with that is if I tell you there's a 6% seller concession, it's 6% of $106,000. So all of a sudden, you're going to be $366 short when you get to the closing, because there's too much seller concession there, and the seller's going to walk with less money. So the way to do that math, and I'm not going to belabor this point, is to take the amount of the purchase price that the seller wants to get. So the seller net, if you're writing this down, you know, the four of you out there that are listening, you take the seller net, divide it by the difference between one and the percentage you want back. So in a 6% seller concession, you're going to take the purchase price divided by 0.94, and that's going to give you the actual purchase price. So back to our example, $100,000 divided by 0.94 is going to give you $106,383. That's your actual purchase price. And then I can say I want a 6% seller concession, because that's going to go back. Now you're going to take $106,383, multiply that by 0.94, or if you multiply it by 6%, you're going to get $6,383. Subtract that from the purchase price, and you get back to exactly $100,000. So that's how the math is done. You don't have to worry about doing the math. Just use me with Living Well Realty and Victory Funding, and we'll make sure that the numbers are correct on the stuff. By the way, many attorneys don't do this correctly either, and unfortunately, by the time it gets to them, they just pass over it because they're looking at the percentage. So this is something that comes up at a closing fairly frequently if anybody ever understands it, and somebody ends up paying that extra $383, and it's usually whoever did the math in the beginning that takes the mistake. So if you're a realtor and you're listening out there, trust me, learn how to do this. If you don't want to learn how to do it, just send me your prequels, and I'll make sure that you have the right number when you put your offer together. I do that for realtors, by the way, all the time. It's very common for somebody to say to me, well, we want this. What seller concession should I get? First question. Next question, what will my purchase price be? All right. So the easy answer is don't use percentages, just use numbers, but you got to make sure you use the right numbers. All right. So what is the seller concession is not, it's not a gift from the seller. It's not a way to avoid a down payment. I'll talk about that in a minute. And it's not a way to pay for improvements. So the seller concession must be used toward the closing costs and prepaid items in most cases. Now, prepaid items are to establish your escrow. So taxes, insurance, prepaid interest, those are what's called prepaids. So it can be used for that. It can be used for closing costs, which are the your attorney, the bank attorney, title insurance, mortgage insurance or mortgage tax, things like that. It can be used to pay all of those things. And it reduces that down to what your minimum required down payment is. So every loan program has a different amount of seller concession that's allowable. So it's based on the specific loan program. So for instance, FHA and USDA, we can always use a maximum of a 6% seller concession. So I will say this to you, that for in most cases, if with our real estate in the Capital District, if the purchase price is over $100,000, most of the time 6% is too much seller concession. And I'm going to go into a lot of detail about what happens with too much seller concession. It's actually a nightmare. So 6% is more than enough to pay for all of your closing costs. But again, remember, we said it can't be used for part of your down payment. So let's use FHA as an example. FHA requires 3.5% as a minimum down payment. And they don't even put it like that. It's a minimum required investment. So that 3.5% on a $100,000 purchase, you have to show that you've got $3,500 that you're bringing to the closing. Now, that money can come from a lot of different places, but it can't come from the seller, okay? It can come from a relative as a gift. It can come from your own savings account. It can come from borrowing it from a secured source like your 401k or borrowing it on a car. It can't come from an unsecured source, and it can't come from a seller concession. So you can't use all your seller concession and then walk into that closing and have the attorney say, okay, I only need $1,000 because your seller concession paid the rest. The bank will not allow that, and you will create a nightmare. And we're going to talk about that. So what about a conventional loan? Conventional loans are a little different. Typically, somebody will tell you, well, it's 3%. Well, if you're at as little as 9.999% down, it's 3%. But when you put more than 10% down, it drops down to 6%. And if you put 20% down, you can get as much as a 9% seller concession. So your first thought is, why would I ever want a seller concession when I'm putting 20% down? Well, because I can use, if I only have 20%, I can use a seller concession to pay the rest of the closing costs and some of that down payment. Because the bank on a conventional loan doesn't care if your seller concession is used for part of your down payment. Sometimes they have a minimum requirement of 5%, but on a 20% down loan, they don't really care because they're in a great position. And so are you, because you don't have mortgage insurance. So it may be better for you to put 20% down and get a 9 or 10% seller concession or a 9% seller concession rather than putting 15% down and get stuck with mortgage insurance. So again, it's a tool. Seller concession is a tool that has to be used very, very carefully. So what about VA? You probably noticed, or maybe you didn't, that I conspicuously left VA out. VA has their own set of rules for everything. It's the government, and it's the military. Of course they have their own rules. First of all, it's the best loan program on the planet. It's 100% financing. There is no down payment requirement whatsoever. And you can have unlimited seller concession. Now, we just said that 6% is more than enough for almost every loan, and that's very true, but unlimited is still nice, right? So if you're buying a $40,000 piece of property and your closing costs are $5,000, that's like 12.5% as a down payment, or as a, you know, as a seller concession, you would need to cover your closing costs. You can do that with a VA loan. It's unlimited for closing costs, plus up to 4% for prepaids. So the prepaid, remember, that's your taxes, insurance, and prepaid interest, or your prepaid. So the unlimited can cover your closing costs, plus an additional 4% for prepaid items. So the VA is, again, very different, but that's the those are the parameters for a seller concession. I don't expect you to remember these. What I expect you to remember is that we know what these guidelines are, and if you don't know what they are and your lender doesn't know what they are, and I know that sounds ridiculous, but a lot of times lenders are not in tune with all of the minute changes that can be in effect for each of these loan programs. So it pays to work with an expert. So when are they not allowed? They're not allowed when they're in excess of the amounts we just talked about. They're not allowed to replace required down payment amounts, which we talked about, and they're not allowed for minimum investment requirements. So those are important things to remember. So here are the consequences, and I know this is really important, and we're almost done, but listen to this if you listen to nothing else. If you have excessive seller concessions, now remember, when we defined this in the beginning, seller concessions, you borrow. So you're paying for those seller concessions in your loan. You're borrowing that. Your loan amount increases based on those seller concessions. If they are excessive, that money stays on the table and the seller gets a bonus. So go back to our example. Let's say $106,000 purchase. You can only use $4,000 in seller concessions. That means the seller gets to keep the other $2,000, but you borrowed it, so you get to pay extra. So using your seller concessions improperly can really bite you. Now, it used to be that it was perfectly acceptable for the attorneys to give that money back at the closing. That is no longer the case. There is a very strange dichotomy between what you agreed to on the contract and what the lending guidelines require. So an attorney cannot violate those lending guidelines, even though that's what you agreed to on the contract. So they're conflicting documents, but the banking regulation rules. So that money will stay on the table. You will not get it back and you will lose that. So calculating the correct seller concession is a huge deal. We have several ways that we do it at Victory Funding. And we have some great techniques to be able to absorb that if we guess wrong, which occasionally we do. But again, we make sure that that money stays in your pocket and doesn't get left on the table. So give us a call. Victory Funding is 899-7700. Living Well Realty is 899-5000. We are located in the epicenter of economic activity in Malta, New York. We are always available to help you buy and sell your real estate. This is Tim Halliday reminding you to renew your mind daily, stay positive, and be a blessing to those God puts you in contact. Remember, your attitude and your actions are your choice. May God richly bless you. Thanks for listening today. We'll continue this conversation next week right here on Mortgage Solutions.
To start the process of buying a home, investing in real estate, or obtaining a mortgage for purchase or refinance, call the offices of Victory Funding today at 899-7700. That's 899-7700. Victory Funding is a New York State registered mortgage broker with offices in Malta, New York. NMLS number 49846. All loans are through third-party providers.